Good morning and Happy New Year. Isn't that a great thing to say, Happy New Year? It just, it feels good, doesn't it, to be starting 2021 today, the first Sunday in 2021. As we start a new year, I have a question that I want to invite you to think about, one that I actually think could alter your approach, could alter our approach to 2021. And the question to think about is this: what kind of leader are you? Now, don't answer this question. Don't let your mind right now. In fact, some of you already are. I just want to invite you to think about it. What kind of leader are you? And again, I want to caution you to pause your brain for a moment, because your brain's trying to answer it. In culture, that's like we're tuned to not sit with the question. We're tuned to answer it. So some of you are already thinking, well, I don't really think of myself as a leader. That's an answer. Don't answer. Just think and reflect. I know it's not easy to not answer it, because that's how we're trained. Some of the others of you, you're actually trying to think of, like, what answer does he want to this question? Because we're also tuned to think that way. I remember the first time I can sort of remember being asked this question, what kind of leader are you? I was applying for a summer counselor position at an academy in a college campus in Missouri. And I remember I was going through the questions and I saw this one: what kind of leader are you? And I remember thinking at that moment, I wonder what kind of leader they're looking for. I'm going to try and answer it to get the job. It didn't work, by the way. I didn't get that camp counselor position. So don't answer. Don't try to guess if there's a right answer. Just hold the question in your mind: what kind of leader are you? Because I think as we explore the Bible today, we just might discover a new way to let this question guide our life of faith. So we're going to get to more on that in just a minute. Here at Clay Church, we are starting a new sermon series for the new year called Lead the Way. In October, we actually began a journey through the Bible, and we spent the first couple of months examining the Torah, and then we took a little bit of a break for Advent and Christmas, and now we're jumping back in, and we're jumping back in to just walk all the way through the Bible with two questions kind of guiding our journey. And I want to remind you today of those two questions. The first one is, how does my life help others to know the love of Jesus? How does my life help others to know and see the love of Jesus? And the second question is, what are we doing to contribute to a more Christ-like community? What are we as the followers of Jesus, as the people of God, as Clay Church, doing to contribute to a more Christ-like community? So today, we're going to pick up where we left off. We looked at the first five books of the Torah. We're going to pick up at essentially the history books of the Old Testament and kind of take a whirlwind tour through those over the next couple of weeks. If you are new to Clay Church, I just want to let you know that we have an app that you can download. Just go to the App Store and search for Clay Church. It's not hard to find there. When you download that app, if you turn on notifications, you will get a scripture reading and a question from the Bible every day as a way to sort of continue learning and growing, examining the Bible with us. You can also find actually all of the readings and Bible studies for each of the weeks that we use for our circles at claychurch.com/circles. You do the curriculum download at the bottom of that page. You can actually just print out all of the questions for a week. So here we go. Let's dive in. Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips this day and speak through them. And take our minds and think through them. And Lord, take our hearts and just set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So some of you know, when I was in college, I was part of a social fraternity. Actually, I went on to work for that fraternity in my first job out of college as a leadership consultant. But when I was in college, I had the opportunity to attend a leadership seminar, probably my sophomore year, maybe fresh sophomore, junior year, maybe. And we went for a week of leadership training one summer. The program was called Lead by Example and Precept, LEAP for short. And I actually had an amazing experience there and carry some understandings of leadership from that time to today. One of those came from one of the facilitators in one of our sessions. I couldn't tell you now who said it, but I remember he looked at us during one of the sessions and said, "You are leading even when you are following." And I very vividly remember thinking, wait, how can you be leading if you're following? Like, that doesn't seem to make sense. But then he went on and explained what he meant. He said, you know what, when you follow a leader who is leading your group of men, your fraternity chapter, out into the community to do service and, sort of fulfill one of your core precepts as a group of men growing together and making an impact on the community. So there are others in the community who are watching and seeing what you are doing and labeling, understanding fraternity based on your actions. You are leading the impressions of others even when you're following another leader. And I thought, yeah, that makes sense. And then he said, the opposite is also true. When you follow somebody who leads you into a mistake or into something that you shouldn't be doing, it's like if people know that you are part of this organization, then you're leading them to an impression of this organization or leading them to understand or react to this organization in a certain way based on your actions and your life. Even though you're following somebody else, you're leading others. You're always leading others who are watching and seeing how you interact with the world. And I thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You are leading even when you are following. I thought of that as I was thinking about how we sort of understand particularly the book of Judges today. So just a recap how we arrive at the book of Judges. In the Torah, right, at the end of the Torah, Moses has led the people to the promised land, but Moses actually doesn't get to go in. Joshua, who follows Moses as the leader, takes the people into the promised land. And as they settle into the land, they came up against the tension of the people that are already living in the land. And we're going to sort of leave that to wrestle with on another day. But what we learn then from the story, in fact, Judges 2, verse 10 says this, when that whole generation had passed away, essentially the generation that arrived with Moses and was led into the land by Joshua, when that whole generation had passed away, another generation came after them who didn't know the Lord or the things that he had done for Israel. And we should pause here a moment because part of what's happened is that we learn right at the beginning of Judges that this people, they've gotten comfortable in the land. They've begun to settle in. There's certainly still tension there. But it tells us that they, for whatever reason, they'd stopped telling the story of what God had done for their people. They stopped worshiping God. They stopped telling the children the stories of God and why worship and why God mattered in their lives. And so, because they no longer know God, they begin to follow pagan ways. They begin to enter into the culture around them without that sort of sense of distinct identity as the people of God. And as they do that, they find pain and they find that they're no longer strong enough to stand against outsiders or enemies. And the book of Judges tells us a little bit later, the Lord was moved by Israel's groaning under those who oppressed and crushed them. Right? They've forgotten, they end up being crushed by their enemies, and the Lord hears them and is moved by it. And so it says this, so the Lord would raise up leaders for them. The book of Judges is named these judges that we hear about. Judges in our sort of English understanding brings up the wrong impression. The judges were really leaders. So the Lord would raise up leaders, judges for them, and the Lord would be with the leader, and he would rescue Israel from the power of their enemies as long as that leader lived. But then when the leader died, Judges tells us right at the beginning in chapter 2, they, the people, would once again act in ways that weren't as good as their ancestors, going after other gods to serve them and to worship them. They wouldn't drop their bad practices or hard-headed ways. So the Lord became angry with Israel and said, because this nation has violated my covenant that I required of their ancestors and hasn't obeyed me, I in turn will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died. What we find in Judges is this cycle, right? And in this cycle, the people have forgotten God, and they're chasing after other idols, and that leads to pain and suffering and hurt for the people. And they cry out to God. And then God raises a leader who calls them back to faithfulness or delivers them for their enemies. And they turn back to God for a short time. But when that leader dies, when that reminder that God is with them dies, then they turn back to the pagan influences around them. They turn back to other sources of thinking that'll bring them comfort. And they find pain and struggle again, and they cry out. And Judges actually repeats this cycle again and again and again. If you look up Judges, like if you just Google Judges and cycle, you'll see that a lot of people name it the sin cycle, right? It's this idea that when we turn away from God, when we turn to other sources for comfort, when we turn our backs to God and toward evil or the world, then it causes pain and struggle. And so they call it, it's often labeled the sin cycle. But Marty Solomon does this great teaching through the Bema podcast, which I've mentioned before, says that the sin cycle isn't the greatest explanation of this because it misses the other side. Right? The other side of this cycle is, right, is a leader is raised up by God. God is still with the people. The other side of the cycle is redemption. We could see it as human frailty. We know sin cycle isn't a bad name for it. It's not an incorrect name for it. But really what Judges shows us again and again and again is that God is patient and persistent. God doesn't give up on us. Humanity, we have this tendency to continue to turn away, to continue to think that we have the answers, but God is persistent and patient and does not stop pursuing us. This cycle is repeated throughout the Bible, right in the Torah. In the Torah, God created everything that is. God created humanity, and it is good. It is very good. And then as humanity begins to lose that, God calls Abraham, right? And God says, you are blessed to be a blessing. God's purpose for God's people is to remind the nations of who God is, a God of love and grace and goodness. Not some nations, the people of Israel, God's people, are called to remind all of the nations. That's actually why the Holy Land is so important. Right? In the book of Judges, it's all about how the Holy Land is being settled. And that the Holy Land is important. And it seems odd today, because today we think of the Holy Land as important because of the tension and the conflict that is there. And it's like, how do we resolve that conflict so it doesn't blow up into the rest of the world? But in biblical times, the Jordan Valley was at the crossroads of all of the empires of the world. It is important to God. The people of God living there are important to God because they were at the crossroads of the world to be a blessing to the world, to share who God is with the rest of the world. And God's purpose then doesn't change. Even as humans mess up. In Judges, the people have failed to, tell the story. A whole generation has been raised without knowing what God has done. They don't know the Bible. They don't know what for them is the Torah. They don't know how to practice the traditions. But again and again, God raises up a leader to deliver them and to show God's love for them. Why? Because God is always pursuing. God is always pursuing you or pursuing through you with God's love. That's the bottom line of the cycle. God is always pursuing us, even when we've turned away, or pursuing others with God's love at work through us, raising us up as leaders to draw others to know that love. Think about that for a moment. God is always pursuing you or pursuing others through you. Always. Now, there's a cautionary tale within Judges as well. Right? Some of you may know the story of Samson. Samson was, for all intents and purposes, a judge, a leader, but created one mess after another mess. He was not a good leader. He was a reluctant leader to begin with. And the reality is that that really, in many ways, Samson's story shows us that God can work through us even when we're not faithful, that God is at work even in the midst of our foibles and our mistakes. But Samson is a part of the tribe of Dan. And Dan is an interesting story in the book of Judges that we easily miss because there's lots of strange stories in Judges, by the way. But in the story of Dan, there are these strange stories. First, there's all this about Samson, who is, by all accounts, a flawed leader, but a leader. And he offers Israel about 20 years of peace, which is much less than the other judges. But then in some ways, what we learn is that Dan doesn't have a leader. Dan, the tribe of Dan, nobody sort of steps up and steps into that leadership role. And here's what happens to Dan, right? And I'm going to do a little bit of geography here. For those of you who aren't big fans of history or geography, stick with me for a moment, and you'll see why this becomes important to understanding this biblical story. So we have Samson and Dan, and when you see where the people settle when they settle in the Promised Land, Dan is kind of down in the south part of the Holy Land, right next to Judah and surrounded by the other tribes. And Dan's role, Dan's purpose, right, is that the tribe's purpose is to essentially testify and settle the areas and the borders around the Philistines. That's where Samson's story takes place. All right, but Dan ends up, despite being given this purpose by God, Dan, the tribe decides that they don't want to do that. They want more peace and comfort. So later on in Judges, we read this story, and they send five people up to essentially what's sort of the northeast corner of the Holy Land, a city called Laish. And they go to Laish, and they decide the people there are living peaceably, and everything seems really nice there. And so they decide to abandon God's purpose for them. Abandon God's purpose to be a blessing. And they decide they want to go up on their own and settle this area. And so they go into this area, and the story in Judges tells us that they wipe out this peaceful people. And then they take the idol of another priest there, and they set that idol up as essentially the center of their community. And what Dan has done is it's gone from this difficult task, but from God's purpose for the tribe, surrounded with the other tribes, with the rest of God's people who are there to support them, particularly Judah, which becomes the line of David and then the line of Jesus, right there in the midst of it all, where they're supported by the people of God. And instead they go and they isolate themselves where they think they can keep themselves safe and secure. But what they do is they place themselves at the northeast corner of essentially the Holy Land. And then every invading power that comes in later, the Assyrians, the Persians, the Babylonians, as they come in to invade, Dan is always the first to get hit. And the cautionary tale is this: when you look at a map later, you'll see Dan in the northeast corner. And then eventually, Dan is the first of the tribes to just essentially disappear. And in fact, in Revelation, when the tribes of Israel are listed, Dan is not included among them. It's just gone. Right? Dan decided it was going to completely abandon God's purpose. Which, when we understand the fullness of that story, allows us to ask this question: will we be Dan, like the tribe of Dan? Decide on our own purpose and leave God behind? Or will we follow God and lead as God's partners in the way of love? That's our invitation, to be God's partners, leading in the way of God's love. And now we're back at this word leadership, right? And many will say, I'm not a leader. But that phrase, actually, it's not biblical. The idea to say, well, I'm not a leader is not a biblical concept. It's like saying, it'd be like saying I'm not a parent. Like, and we've all had days, for those of us who are parents, we've all had days when you're like, I'm not a good parent. Well, but you're still a parent. Right? Have you ever seen a child like strike a pose like their parent, or make a face that is just a mimic of the parent? Or maybe you've heard a child repeat something that a parent has said. Right? That's all because once we have children, we are parents. Well, the Bible calls us to lead others in God's love. And the question becomes, what pose are you showing the world? What are we showing the world that we want the world to mimic? Jesus will come. And for those who are Jesus' followers, he gives the Great Commission at the end of Matthew. Right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And some of you have heard me say this before, make disciples in the Great Commission of Jesus is not a verb and then a noun. It's not a verb to make and then a noun disciples. It's a single word. And the single word has this sense of discipling. It's a word that captures the rabbinic model of a teacher having 10 to 12 people who follow them, who they walk through life together as they teach and they model the way. So Jesus' invitation to us is to make disciples. It is to disciple others. It is to lead others in the way. What way? Well, the way of Jesus. The way of humility and sacrifice, of grace, of unconditional love. See, followers of Jesus provide direction and purpose by living Christ-centered lives. We're invited to think of ourselves, every one of us, as a Christian leader or a leader for God or a leader for Jesus, because followers of Jesus provide direction and purpose for others by living Christ-centered lives. I have a friend in ministry in the Fort Wayne area, a pastor. His name's Tony Johnson. He actually refers to himself as he leads his church as the lead follower. I love that idea, right? That we are followers of Jesus, and by our following of Jesus, we lead others in the way. I think certainly we can use it as pastors, but I actually think all of us as followers of Jesus, we can claim this invitation. And if you haven't heard this invitation before, let me just offer this invitation to you today. We are invited. You are invited right now, today, To know a love that knows no bounds. To know a love in Jesus Christ that has sacrificed for you so that you might know the depth of God's love. You are invited to claim that love and follow in the way that Jesus has shown us to a life of peace and joy and hope. That's our invitation. That's an invitation to you today. And when we choose then to follow in that way, what happens is we begin to live lives with the humility and hope that Jesus had, with the grace and unconditional love for others that Jesus had. And as we live those lives, we lead others to follow in that love as well. You are invited today to be a follower of Jesus. You are invited today to be a lead follower, a partner in sharing God's blessing with the world. Now, some of you have heard me say before at the start of a new year, I'm not a huge New Year's resolutions fan. I don't have a problem with them. I think they're great. But I think as studies show, most resolutions last like 1 or 2 weeks. But I do believe in renewing our covenant with God. That's what happens throughout this biblical cycle, is that leaders call the people to renew their covenant with God, to renew their desire to follow. Because when we follow, we experience the blessings as we live into God's purpose for us. So today I want to invite all of us just to renew our covenant in 2021 to be lead followers of Jesus. To ask ourselves the question again and again, what kind of leader are you? And actually, we should change that question now, actually, shouldn't we? What kind of leader do you want to be? What kind of lead follower do you want to be? The world needs leaders who model another way in their daily lives. We're invited to be those leaders. So each week, as we're doing this walk through the Bible, as we're asking about living in faith every day, we are offering a faith fit challenge. So here is your faith fit challenges in the weeks ahead from today's message. In the next 2 weeks, I want to challenge you to spend at least an hour serving others. And maybe you're thinking right now, how do I serve others when I really can't, I shouldn't be in direct contact with others? Well, there are lots of ways to serve. So if you need some ideas, let me give you 3 ideas real briefly this morning. One, ask Pastor Kathy from our team for a list of names of those who need encouragement and care. And just spend an hour and write some cards, or gather your family and write some cards to some people with a message of hope or a prayer for them. Or if you need another idea, schedule a time to volunteer somewhere that serves our community as a representative of Clay Church. You can volunteer with the food pantry or with Cultivate Culinary or with Hope Ministries or with a host of partners in the community. Just sign up in the next 2 weeks and schedule an hour where you'll go out, or even more time where you'll go out and serve. Or sign up for the Clay Church prayer list. You can go into the communication part of the website, and you can sign up and receive the prayers that come via email. And you can pray through that list 10 minutes each day with your family. Over the week, you'll have spent an hour modeling for others by your life of prayer and serving by praying for others. There are lots of ways to serve, but our challenge is to model the way of Jesus. And the way of Jesus is to serve one another, to love our neighbors. So what kind of leader will you be in 2021? Will you be a lead follower for Jesus? Amen.